I'm on. Father, we pray for anointing on your word today as Richard shares with us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can't see which side it is. I'm absolutely amazed. All sorts of things have been said during the service so far this morning, which are part of what I'm going to share with you. That's God. That's God. That's not man. That's God. There's one thing I want to tell you. Some of you I've told. Tarina and I are very, very excited. We won't be here next weekend. We're going to our son's wedding. He's 46, never been married before. And he's marrying a girl from school who's never been married before. So we are very excited. We thought that he would never marry, but we're going to get ourselves a daughter-in-law that we weren't expecting. So we're very, very excited. And she's lovely. Both of them are committed Christians. I was sort of pondering whether to share this with you or not. I shared it with Jeff and with Jamie during the week, and I thought, well, yeah, it makes the thing fit, so I'll share it with you. I don't know when it was. Oh, somewhere around 30 years ago, I was just working, doing my daily job. I wasn't praying. I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't meditating on the Lord. I was concentrating on my work. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Richard, you don't love my children. If you loved my children, you would tell them the truth. And that knocked me off my feet. So since then, I have been working towards getting rid of all the gross and just concentrating on God's truth. There's a lot of books written on theology that are very, very interesting. But I haven't found one yet that really helps you walk the straight and narrow road with Jesus. I have discovered for myself that it's the four Gospels, and particularly what's written in red, what Jesus has said. And if we concentrate on that, we'll get it right. We'll get it right. Now, Jesus said in John 14:10, here we are. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. No, that's not the one I want. That's 14, that's 14:1. 14:10. 9. 10. Oh yes, here's the dot. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. I think that that's a point. That's a point of truth. It is God's words, not Jesus. God gave his words to Jesus to speak. So if we want to honour God, if we want to be with God, then we've got to accept that every word that Jesus said is from God. That's a truth. That's a truth. The subject this morning is forgiveness. But forgiveness is spiritual, not physical. There's nothing about forgiveness you can put in your pocket. It is all from the heart. All from the heart. Now, for us to be able to forgive and to have the Spirit, as Peter has explained from the reading for this morning, we need to have the Spirit. You can't forgive if you haven't got God's Spirit. Now, the full terminology of born again is born again of the Spirit of God. That's the full name, full words. You see, God gave his Spirit to mankind at creation. He gave it to Adam. Now, if you read Genesis, you will see that in the cool of the evening, God came down and spoke with Adam. You'll also notice that after Adam fell, God didn't do that anymore. He didn't do it. Adam lost the Spirit of God for all mankind until Jesus. And that's where we get the Spirit of God back that we can have within us. And how do we get it? By being born again. Now, I've noticed over the decades, and I sort of mentioned this just in passing, Trina and I have always been Christians. We were, before we were married, we were singing in a church choir in Brisbane, and that's over 50 years ago. Going on 55 years ago that happened. And the minister who married us in that church, when we were standing up near the altar and we sang a hymn, he said to both of us, he said, come on you two, you sing as well. So we did. But we've been around the church for a long, long time. A long time. But it's only in, I don't know, 30 odd years ago, something like that, 30, 40 years ago, that we became born again. And always, it's just a quick sinner's prayer, no explanation, and they say, there you are, you're born again. And as I said, God wants me to speak the truth to his children. So I'm going to tell you what you really need to know about being born again. Now, is it important? I don't know where I'd be without these, Jeff. Honestly, I don't. Jeff gave me a little pack of stickers that you stick on the pages and you put a number on it and you know exactly where you're at or where the next scripture's coming from. He gave them to me many, many years ago. And it's a real blessing. It's a real blessing. There's two scriptures here. One follows the other. I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you ever deeply thought about that? Have you deeply thought about that? Unless you're born again of the Spirit of God, you cannot see his kingdom. And the next one is, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh. This is a different scripture. No, it's not. It's the same scripture as you was reading. So I won't go into that too much. It's just simply that it reiterates the fact that Jesus says, you must be born again. So, let's have a look at being born again. Number one. You must believe by faith that Jesus is the Son of God. You must believe that. That's part of being born again. If you haven't got that, you haven't got anything. This annoys me. I've noticed with different preachers, some preachers like Jeff has got it all in his brain. And doesn't use notes. And other preachers have the whole thing written out. Me, I use notes. But the problem is I'm getting older. Yeah, I am. And I find it difficult. I read a note and think, what does that mean? So you'll have to stay with me as I go to the notes. 3:31. It's true. It's true. Here we are. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. To him God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's vital. The second one is that we must believe that Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins. Number four. See, I'm getting there. Number four. It's a short one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we must believe that Jesus took our punishment for our sins. It's vital. So that's another part of being born again. Now this is the point, when you're going through the process, this is the point where you repent of your sins. And you must repent of all of your sins. Keep none back. And what I was taught to do eons ago is, imagine in your mind's eye that your sins are in a package. You must go to the cross and give them to Jesus on the cross. And there's a vital point, and I have experienced this a few times. A lot of people take some of their sins back. You mustn't do that. What I was taught to do is you give your sins to Jesus on the cross and you turn your back and you walk away and you leave them there. You leave them there. Now, our point is that God will forgive all of your sins. All of them. Some people are under the impression, I've heard them say it in church, that I have sinned a sin that God could never forgive. Untrue. God will forgive all of our sins. Now here's a goodie. The third one. The third part of being born again. Now Margie said at Easter on Resurrection Sunday that it was the best day of the year for her. I just about jumped up on the seat and went, Yahoo, because it is for me too. It is for me too. Now I'm going to tell you something about the resurrection. Do you realize that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, his dying on the cross was of no avail. No avail at all. We'd have said, thank you, Jesus, and carried on with our sinful lives. There'd be no Christians in the world today. There'd be no Christian churches. Because we couldn't go on with it. Because you see, Jesus' resurrection gave us new life. He gave us new life. Romans 6:4, that'll be number 5. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. I always like sort of backing everything I say up with scripture. Number 6 is on the same page. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit. That's what Peter was explaining. And not in the old way by the written code. We have a new life that we don't live by the written laws, we live by the Spirit. That's what the new life gives us. Now, something else happens at this point. We are now born again of the Spirit of God, having gone through that. We are then no longer just a creation of God. At that point, we become a child of God. We become a child of God. And I sat and thought about that during this week, and I just about was in tears. Can you imagine that you're a child of God and that He's our Father? It's awesome. It's really awesome. We can now go on in the new life with the Spirit of God within us. We couldn't do that, go on in the new life, without that Spirit. One of the things that we need to sort of, well, I do, take into consideration all the time is, I can't do any of it in my own strength. I need God to give me the power to do everything. And now that I'm one of His children, He will willingly give me that power. It's like this. If you're doing the things that He wants you to do, He's going to do everything He can to help you do it. He doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. So as a child of God, He will give you all the power you need to conquer everything you need to do what He's asked you to do. So that's something that we need to sort of bear in mind. I was told keep it to about half an hour, and I thought to myself, yeah, well, everybody will be home for afternoon tea, it'll be right. Now, as I said, now we come into forgiveness. We can now forgive others because we've got the Spirit of God within us. Forgiveness is spiritual. It comes from the heart. Now, there's different groups. I'm going to restrict it today, for the sake of time, to two groups. The first one is, and I'll explain why you've got to do this, the first one is the ones you can't remember. The kids at school that pushed you over in the sandpit, who said nasty things about you, hit you over the head with a toy, whatever. Those, and when you were a teenager and you're in a group, and teenagers do this. They set you up, they put you down, they say nasty things about you in front of your friends. That's what teenagers are like. So you put them in the group. The same sorts of things happen at work, in work situations. Now when you sort of think about it now, just about exclusively, you can't think of the names of anybody that's done that to you. You can't even very clearly remember what happened. You just know that they did. So that's where you do a blanket forgiveness of all of those people and everything that was done. It's important that you do that. And I'll explain shortly why. The next group of people are people you know. You know who they are, you know their names, you know exactly what they did to hurt you. Those people you need to forgive individually, stating their name and what they did, and forgive them. Now, I'll tell you something from my own experience. I had a situation where I had to forgive someone, and the hurt was enormous. And I could not forgive them. So I said to God, take away my hurt, and I'm sure I'd be able to forgive them. He didn't do it. I came to realize that there are a lot of scriptures where God says, I will give you this and this and this and bless you this way and bless you that way. But first you've got to do this. It's sort of like he's saying, me I trust, you I'm not sure about. So you do your bit first, then I'll do my bit. And miraculously in this situation, there was one other thing. I still couldn't do it. So I went to the scriptures, and there are a number of scriptures where Jesus says, ask anything in my name and it will be given to you. So I asked God in Jesus' name to give me the grace to forgive. Give me the grace to forgive. I was then able to forgive this person, and guess what happened? Instantly the hurt went. Gone. And I had God's peace in its place. So we've got to forgive everybody, but God makes it possible for us to be able to do that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. This is a goodie. There's one more forgiveness. We've got to forgive ourselves. Vital. Terribly, terribly important. We've got to forgive ourselves. We were sinners. We sinned. So we've got to forgive ourselves for doing that. Otherwise, we're going to carry that with us in our hearts. Now, a few points. No one on earth, which excludes Jesus, no one is going to be perfect towards us. We all expect it. Why have they hurt me? They should have been perfect towards me. But they're not. And the reason why they're not is they're sinners just like I am. They sin just like I sin. Only I'm the recipient of their sin towards me. So I've just got to acknowledge the fact that they're not perfect. I mean, okay, let me just say this quickly. That even includes our spouses. No? Not more. Oh, you crawler, you. Yes, true. No one's going to treat us perfectly on earth. Now, this one you won't find in scripture. I was taught it and I have practiced it. And I can tell you now, 100% certain, it works. I was taught that God is omnipresent. That is all present. He's in my mind. He's in the bottom of a coal mine. He's on the top of a mountain. He's everywhere. There's nowhere he isn't. But Satan is not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at a time. One place at a time. Now he takes great delight in coming round and going, zap, think about that again. And you get all the hurt, you go over the whole thing in detail. Some of you are nodding your heads, this is, you know, it's right. It is right. It is right. You go over it again. Middle of the night he goes zap as he's flipping past at a million miles an hour. He keeps doing that. So what I was taught was, when you go through being born again, when you go through all your forgiveness, you do it out loud so that your words go into the spirit realm and Satan hears them. Then he knows what you're about. If you do it under your breath, it's in your brain, he can't get there, he doesn't know. And what I've experienced with this is that he has come round after I've forgiven someone and goes zap and I say, no, Satan, I've forgiven that person, be gone in Jesus' name. You have to do this for 2 or 3 or 4 days and then he's gone. He's got better things to do than to chase somebody who's not going to take any notice of it. So he goes and he doesn't come round trying to remind you all the time. I found that he came back 12 months later and tried it on again. And I gave him the same answer. Never heard from him since on that subject. That's what I was taught. I put it into practice and it worked for me. Now, once we have repented of all our sins and we have forgiven everybody, we've got all that gunk out of our hearts. So now, we have a pure heart. Now, we can walk with Jesus and do the other things he asks us to do. Like, love everyone. Try doing that unless you've got a pure heart. You can't do it. We have to be able to do that. I meditated on this. It's not in the scripture, but it makes sense to me and it's what I'm going to be doing. Once you've repented and forgiven and you've got a pure heart, the next thing is to learn how to love everyone. Because once you have learnt and you are acting and loving everybody, then it's so much easier to do the next thing. Bear good fruit. So much easier. Try loving everybody if you haven't got rid of your sins and your forgiveness. It's near impossible. Because you're carrying all that gunk around in your heart. Get rid of that. Learn to love everybody. And once you're doing that, it's a piece of cake then to go and bear good fruit. It's no trouble at all. I think that that'll probably just about be enough today. I'm a firm believer in enough's enough. You go too far and you forget what's been said. So that's what I believe. Now, finish on a positive note. If we do these things properly, none of this just flitting through it with a quick, simple sinner's prayer. We go through it. We go through forgiving everybody. We start walking with a pure heart with Jesus down the straight and narrow road. We do these things, then on that day, Jesus is going to say to us, good and faithful servant, come, I've prepared a place for you. Thank you.
Doing the wrong one again.